This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, let's go. Teke and Tierney coming here from the Teke and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. You found the better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage on this Wednesday around the country. What's happening? Hope everybody is doing well today. Teke and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 206 on Twitter, Teke and Tierney. Look at Teke. He's got the George Jefferson slash.
You like this?
Wait. Slash.
Check it out.
Seventh grade science teacher
Check
patches.
It out. Check it out. You like that?
I actually do like it. What's happening, buddy?
Churching it up today.
Where's the Lexus outside?
No. It's a Berkowitz birthday dinner tonight.
Ooh.
Just going somewhere local.
Okay.
I figured I'd be the best dressed of the friends.
You always are, dude. You roll in. I mean, come on. You go running. You
do everything
short of putting makeup on when you go for a jog.
I actually should do that, dude. I should get one of those. What was that shirt you had? You remember we had a shirt or someone came in with a shirt that like it was like spandexy dress shirt.
Yes,
I can't
that
remember.
Years ago.
I don't think
they were trying to get the product.
Ever made it.
It didn't. It didn't make it off the ground.
I should actually do that. Just start wearing shirt and tie when I run my marathons.
Oh, boy. Oh, geez. speaking of running, Derrick Henry has been doing a lot of running. Listen, Derrick Henry, we got some great stuff today out of Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Let's start the show with this. I want to play this for you. Derrick Henry's made some news. I do think it's been unfairly or improperly positioned.
Mm-hmm.
What else is new? What a stunner. Not a real accurate representation of what I think he was trying to say, and I know you agree with that, but let's play with this, and there's a couple of things to attack as it pertains to Brady, Tannehill, and the future of the Titans. Go ahead, guys.
What would you think if Tom Brady came to the Titans?
I would think, why isn't Ryan Tannehill good enough?
Ooh. It's a good argument.
I mean, he still can play. I mean, like,
no question,
obviously age doesn't matter for, you know, him. He's still playing at a high level, so, I mean, but my question would be, why Ryan good enough, you know? And then again, about the Tom Brady thing. Tom Brady is the GOAT. That is no question.
He's the best football player of all time.
The best of all time. But then at the same time, I mean, Ryan Tannehill is our quarterback, went to the AFC Championship. Why would we not, you know, want Ryan back?
Okay, so pretty good stuff there from Derrick Henry. That's Bussin' with the Boys podcast, Taylor Lewan, Will Compton. Why is Taylor Lewan opening the door to get rid of Ryan Tannehill?
It's funny. It's your boy, man. I mean, it should be.
Derrick Henry's the one that we're going to react to, but you know, Taylor Lewan and Compton, the one gassing it up by bringing Brady into the equation.
I think maybe Taylor Lewan is playing on the fact that Tom Brady, in about a month, a little less than a month, actually exactly a month, today's the 18th. If a month from today, Tom Brady, if he doesn't sign an extension, is a free agent.
And officially an expatriate.
And officially
based on the exorbitant hit.
That's exactly right. Because for those who missed this when we talked about it earlier in the week, if they sign him after this date, then the $23 million cap hit plus whatever the new cap hit of the contract would be, it's untenable. He couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So if he doesn't get signed before the 18th at 4 p.m., he's likely an expatriate, which means where's he going? Let's be real. Derrick Henry's kind of right, man. Ryan Tannehill had a season for the ages last year, and it was only really half the season.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at his statistics, 70% completion percentage, and the 9.6 yards per attempt is really what you got to look at, because that means that he's not dinking and dunking. He wasn't, let's make this former starting quarterback into a verb, he wasn't Marcus Mariota-ing it, which was chunking it down and going for the short yardage gains and not trying to make mistakes. He was actually pushing the ball downfield, and that's why A.J. Brown had such a breakout season. He was over 1,000 yards, 20 yards per reception A.J. Brown had this year. That wasn't because Marcus Mariota was throwing him the rock. It was because Ryan Tannehill was throwing it down the field. Corey Davis had a good day, good year as well. And so, like, this perception that because Tom Brady is the GOAT, that he would be better for the Tennessee Titans than Ryan Tannehill was. Mm-hmm. It's asinine. Derrick Henry's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
Tannehill had a better year.
Listen, you know I'm a Tannehill fan.
Yeah.
I
wasn't until this season.
Well, most people aren't, understandably so. I just always try to contextualize his career which I thought was largely off the mark. You know, for playing for a franchise, we don't need to really go through. We know that multiple coordinators, coaches, not a good team in Miami, blah, blah, blah. 31, didn't play a lot of quarterback growing up, so his curve was going to be a little bit more extended. He had to learn the position. You know, the funny thing is about this, you can make the case, I don't agree with this, and I'll tell you why in a moment, but you can make the case that Derrick Henry is the one who's more expendable. If you really think about this, I mean, based on paying a running back.
Yeah, true, because both of them are free agents right now, and Derrick Henry, if he's looking at the going market, is a lot of money per year that the Tennessee Titans probably don't want to pay. But if you're Derrick Henry and just led the league in rushing, why would you accept anything less than that?
Especially after what you did in the postseason. It's not just like in totality, which is one thing.
Right.
But, I mean, this guy was just beasting people
put it
in
on
a
my
way
back.
We never saw.
Put it on my back and let's go get it done.
But
they know we're running the rock, right? Who cares? Mm-hmm. We're going to get it. I'm going to get it done, or at least us up front, their front five, and then him as a running back. They got it done, which is amazing in today's game. Right. It's interesting because we saw this a couple times this postseason. We saw it with the 49ers as well. Mm. We saw it with the Tennessee Titans. It's used to be not too long ago, you had to have a quarterback playing great in order to get to the next round, whatever that would be, the divisional round, the you know, out of the wild card into the championship game. But it's become a little bit about the running back in a way. So he's going to get paid. It's just a matter of who's going to do it.
Yeah, and listen, the thing about Derrick Henry, and here's why I don't think it would be smart. Now, a lot of people say, well, the devalue of the running back, we understand that. You and I have told you, if anybody knows, it's you. You played the position. We've talked about it for years here on Tiki and Tierney. But you have to understand, you know, as many carries as Derrick Henry got in the postseason, and they were just riding his coattails, his first year, he had 110 carries.
Mm-hmm.
Second year was 176. Third year was 215. This year it was 303. So he's averaged only 201 carries per season. And it's funny. I look at the trajectory, the increase of his rushes per season. It's almost like how they handle young starting pitchers. All right,
that's
we'll
right.
go for, you know, 120 innings or 90 innings this year, and then we'll bump you up 25, 30 more, get you up to 120-ish, then we'll tack you up to about 150 or 160 or so, and then eventually it's time to take the trainer wheels off and let you eat. Derrick Henry doesn't catch the football. Not that he can't, but he's not taking those pops like Marshall Faulk used to or like you used to or like Le'Veon Bell used to. He's protected there as well.
True, but some people might say that makes him less valuable, right? That makes him less of the player
like
that Todd Gurley was for the L.A. Rams. Or
Gurley never had this impact. As good as Gurley was, he never had this impact.
Oh, I don't disagree. Because, look, and I did this, I forget who I was doing it for, but somebody was asking me, who are your top three or four running backs in the National Football League? And obviously I put Saquon up there because I'm a homer.
He's pretty good.
He was rookie of the year and he was a baller. Zeke was up there. And I had Todd Gurley. This was before we knew that his knee was as bad as it was. But then I said, you know, but I would consider Derrick Henry as well in my top three or four in the NFL. And they looked at me like cross-eyed, like, why? And I'm like, well, because, one, he's a bruiser, and it's old school in a sense. But one of the most important parts of winning football games is situational success. And if you get a lead and you're in the fourth quarter, what do? You turn around and you hand the ball off to your running back. It's called 4-minute offense. Just don't fumble. Get first downs. We can bleed the clock. We don't have to do anything spectacular, which is what the Tennessee Titans do. And what Derrick Henry regularly does in that situation is take a 2-yard gain, a 5-yard gain, an 8-yard gain, and then bust a 50-yard walk-off touchdown. Like, he's done it at least 3 times that I can remember off the top of my head, and it's probably more than that.
When he broke when he won the rushing title for the season.
That's exactly
took
right.
To the house.
And so at an end of game situation. So there's 8-9 guys in the box. He's able to slowly piece his way through, get into the open field, and then blow away people. I mean, it's amazing. Like, in that skill set is valuable for winning football teams. You have to have a guy that you can count on and trust at the end of the game to get 10 yards or 15 yards or, in his case, go 70 and close out, like really stomp out an opponent. That's valuable. So somebody's going to pay for that.
Listen, I know it's a lot more complex than we make it out to be on the radio, but man, as a football fan, I really hope the Tennessee Titans find a way to keep this thing together.
I do.
I want to see him go into, you know, right. You don't want to say he deserves it, but he's earned it. I mean,
Tannehill's earned it.
Derrick Henry's earned it. And listen, I think I was wrong on Derrick Henry. When we had Derrick Henry come in here the weekend of the Heisman Trophy those years ago.
Yeah, he was such a nice kid, though.
Great kid. Terrific young man. And he, you know, that's all he's projected ever since. I mean, as a college player and as a pro as well. But I wasn't sure. I'm like, his running style seems to be a little straight up. Not that I'm a scout, but yeah, a little stand-up-ish. I mean, does he really have the make and miss? Is he going to catch the football? I don't know.
Can Eric Dickerson make it? Can Eric Dickerson make it in 2019, 2018, or whatever it is? The answer is probably no.
But I thought that he'd be looking. It's a good comparison, yeah. Similar size. But I always thought, and it's easy to say that now because we saw his career. ED had some wiggle. ED's had some juice. I just didn't feel. Maybe I was just missing what interpreting what I was watching wrong.
Yeah.
Incorrectly. I didn't see the breakaway speed that he flashed at this level.
Yeah.
Once he gets into the second level, he might not outrun a quarterback a corner for 40 yards. He's not running him for 20.
That's right.
I mean, and then he's going to mush you.
You're right.
And he's going to squeeze. And then the safety, somebody's going to come and help and finally get him down.
Well, you hope, because you got to try to get him down. Because I forget, he's 250.
He's a beast.
He's amazing.
I didn't think he'd be this good, Teak.
And I was just asking Samter, because I was like, well, why didn't they pick up the fifth-year option? And I forgot. He was a second-round pick. And so there is no fifth-year option. So in some ways, because he got so good at this at the exact right time, and Coach Vrabel was very smart and attuned to finally starting to give him the ball more frequently. Because remember, he was splitting some time with Deion Lewis early in the season. And it's like, all right, okay, he's going to get 10 carries or 12 carries a game. Dude, feed that dude. Mm-hmm. He's big. He's powerful. And his opinion on his quarterback, now that we move back to Ryan Tannehill, is one that I would espouse too. Because let's face it, if you're Derrick Henry and you know that you're – I guess, like, path towards getting a big deal is having a quarterback who can still throw the ball downfield, which backs everybody up, who is not necessarily going to command $30 million, even though he might, Ryan Tannehill. We'll see, because he'll be a free agent as well. It just feels like running it back with this team that got close is the best bet for Derrick Henry. So why would he not say that? I completely agree. I mean, it sounds odd because people will look at Ryan Tannehill versus Tom Brady, but I think for him, he's absolutely right.
And I don't even think it sounds odd anymore. I think we need to get past this point. Listen, I understand we're in the business of content. We're in the business of compelling conversations, and there's right now very little more compelling than Tom Brady's future and trying to forecast what that will entail. 20 years, we have the greatest quarterback of all time, a small army of Lombardi trophies. I mean, the guy's story is it's amazing, and it's unparalleled. So where Tom Brady plays football next year is very, very interesting. But we have to understand, and you and I do, but we need to inject this a little more frequently. Tom Brady is not going to a situation. First of all, you and I don't think he's going to leave. Yep. But if he were to leave, he's not going to walk into a new team with completely different verbiage, all right? Some schematics that are different. I'm not saying he's not smart enough to quickly adapt to it, but you're going to have a problem here. You're going to have a problem here. So you look at Tom Brady's future, it's nowhere near as encouraging as his past. And we have to get into that more coming up because I'm getting tired of it. Like, people are just throwing stuff out there. The guy's 42 years old.
That's right.
I know he dyes his hair. I know he gets Botox. He doesn't have a line on his face. He looks great.
Smile, everything.
Yeah, he looks like he could be the quarterback at a Jesuit school in high school, like walking around campus wearing his Letterman sweater. I don't know how he looks that way, but he's still 42. So his past, to me, is not nearly as encouraging as some people think. Let's get into it coming up. 1-855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney Show, a little inbounds, out of bounds coming up this hour as well. Rob Manfred right now should be sitting in his office contemplating giving up the commissionership. That's how bad Rob Manfred's been. He has been an unmitigated disaster. If the owners don't vote him out, he should seriously think about relinquishing the power. We'll get to that as well. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All righty, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Tiki and Tierney is 1-855-212-4227. Sponsored by GEICO. Whether you own or rent, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote. Go to geico.com. Easy. By the way, inbounds, out of bounds coming up next segment. Let's see what is on the menu. A little something here on Greg Olsen. A little something. Jay Wright leaving Villanova. Not for the Knicks, for a different team. We'll get to that. A little something on the Basketball Hall of Fame pertaining to Chris Bosh. All right, so we'll get to that as well coming up next year. And by the way, you know, we have all these TVs in studio. I can't wait for this Tyson, for this fight this weekend.
Yeah,
for this
Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder
fight. It's going to be phenomenal.
Is that him on right now?
Yeah, he's on right now.
Yeah. You were out one day, and I had Tyson Fury on.
Yep.
And you know, it started to be like a just like a fighting conversation. Hey, how'd you get up off the mat? You know, because Deontay Wilder chucked him, dude. I thought, he went hard. Like, he didn't even flinch. He didn't gather himself. He hit the pavement or the ring.
The canvas.
The canvas just like flat. Uh-huh. Like, he was knocked out cold.
Right near the ropes.
He got up.
It almost looked fake. The way he got up.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, orchestrated.
But this, but the conversation, like, it evolved into this, like, story about his life and, like, his, like, mental health challenges that he faced. And I mean, it was
interesting. Both of those guys are so unbelievable,
this conversation, that I didn't expect with Tyson Fury. So in some ways, you want to root for him.
I like them both. That's exactly right.
And Deontay Wilder's story is unbelievable with his daughter who had special needs. And we met him, and I met him down in Alabama because Culture City, the autism organization I work with, gave him an award. He's just a great, great dude also.
Isn't he the last American Olympic? He was.
I think you might
bronze.
Be right.
I know they get the gold there. I believe he's the last American Olympian to get maybe. To win a, you know, a medal.
Maybe. I think you might be right.
Listen, they both have charisma. They both hammer you. You know, some of the things that you look at Fury's body, you don't think he'd be able to put his hands behind his back and be quick. Right. He looks woeful. He's got love handles. Like, you know, he's going to look like me at the beach this weekend.
He's long, though.
Oh,
dude.
When he hammers you.
He is long.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yep,
Cannot wait.
That's Saturday at 9 p.m.
It is coming up. All right, we'll get to inbounds, out of bounds next. As I said, let's get back to the Tom Brady stuff. So, and this is derived from the Derrick Henry comments on the podcast. And, you know, some will take it and say, Derrick Henry, you know, threw shade. No, he didn't. He defended his guy. If you listen, we played it for you.
Yep.
If you hear something different, can't really help you. It was a very fair response, defending his guy while still giving the greatest quarterback of all time the props he's earned.
I got to tell you, BT, I am guilty of this as well.
Okay.
So I'll get to it. So what the problem with Tom Brady is that we tend to look at his body of work, which is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Right? The story from a six-round backup to having no chance to, oh, crap, you know, I'm in. I'm going to play to winning it, that first championship.
You missed a part. Not even starting all the time in college.
That's right.
Johansson was playing.
He's a platoon guy in college, which is nuts. He had no chance to be the greatest quarterback of all time until he was on his path to being the greatest quarterback of all time. Nobody would have thought that. Uh-huh. Nobody. Uh-huh. And so, like, his story is just amazing. And then you throw in the fact that he's got this, like, perfect off-field life. He does, you know, ads for $1,000 mattresses, really multi-thousand-dollar mattresses and Uggs.
Uh-huh.
Like, all this non-traditional stuff. And he's crossed over completely outside of football. Like, my wife, Tracy, who she watches football because I watch football. She could care less about football. She's a Patriots fan because of Tom Brady, only because he's a good-looking guy. She met him once, and he was nice to her, like perfectly charismatic, exactly as you would anticipate, right? He's got this perfect existence, and so we lift him and put him on this pedestal. But when it gets real, and I'm guilty of this, I'm admitting this, and we start talking about him as a player both last year and now going forward into 2020, you let that bias seep in. And I don't mean bias in a negative way, in a positive way. You let that bias seep in and say, man, he's one of the best available out there. And I think we're at this point, and you alluded to this, BT, where you can't keep using his past successes to determine what his future success is going to be like. And it's easy to do that because he's always been successful through all the odds, whether it was the four-game suspension because of the Deflategate nonsense or coming back from a devastating knee injury. And he's always done it. And so we assume that even though he's 43, going to be 43, he's still going to do it. It's just we're wrong for doing that.
I don't assume that anymore.
But I do, and I think a lot of people do. And so back to the Derrick Henry comment on Ryan Tannehill. When you first hear it, you're like cross-eyed. Like, what are you talking about, Derrick Henry? You take Ryan Tannehill over Tom Brady? And the answer is, yeah, you should take Ryan Tannehill over Tom Brady
Better athlete for sure.
There's no doubt about it.
Quarterback is in terms of escapability. You know, a quick aside to the unconventional, unexpected path by Brady. So I guess it would have been 2011 or 2012. I'm working in San Francisco. I'm doing stuff for Comcast Bay Area, doing TV, like a debate show, kind of like the one I did on SNY in New York, but it's in San Francisco. And who's in the green room this particular night getting makeup? Tom Brady's pops. Nice. Now, so this was a couple of years before I had kids. I don't know that I would quite ask it this way now. But I'm like, God, what's it like sitting next to Giselle at Thanksgiving? Like a complete idiot. I mean, why would I even ask that? But I did.
You're a moron.
I know. And I asked him, and he engaged. What a nice guy, too, yeah, Tom Brady's pops. And we were talking about that, and he said how great of a mother she is. And he quickly deflected and smartly deflected. And we were talking about Tom and just how unlikely this path was, because he was already, maybe he wasn't number one, but he was still behind Montana at that point. But damn, he was in front of everybody else.
That's right.
I mean, he was certainly cracking the top three, and most of his career was already made. And he said, listen, the day that he got drafted, our hope as a family, I may have said this once on the air.
Yeah.
I've heard nobody else ever say this, so this is interesting. Our hope as a family, and really from Tom, was when he got drafted in round six, hang around for a camp, okay? Maybe hold the clipboard for a year or two, make a couple of $100,000, and then go and make money on Wall Street. Like, that's what they thought their son was going to be. And that's what Tom pretty much aspired to do.
Yeah.
And to see what's happened since is amazing. But the party's over. The party's over. And the party's over for this regard. All right? Not that I'm not going to watch him if he's a Raider, if he's a Titan, if he's a Panther. I'm going to watch him because you have to, because it's a story. But first of all, the schemes, how they pass protect him. All right. We could talk about those little short, shallow crossing routes, not throwing it down. Mm-hmm. That's all you can replicate that somewhere else.
Yeah.
But if you don't have the offensive line to protect him, he is dead, because he is nailed to the ground. He's nailed to the ground, and they poured concrete over the nails. He cannot move. So this thought that he's going to elevate not a moribund offense, but a good offense to elite level, to me, it's a pipe dream.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to play particularly well unless he stays with the Pats.
And that's exactly why we both agree that he needs to stay with the New England Patriots, because at least they know that. At least they understand what his limitations are. They're not going to be blinded by the aura of Tom Brady. Now, there's so many other options out there for quarterbacks, free agent quarterbacks to go through. But if I'm Tom Brady, I think I even start acknowledging that. And I know he doesn't want to, because he's probably playing some, it's not a real game, because if Robert Kraft really wants him and Tom Brady goes and talks to Robert Kraft, who are as tight as owner player probably has ever been in the history of the National Football League.
Yeah, that's probably true.
They are super tight. I'm sure Robert Kraft will find a way to pay him whatever he wants. So they're playing this game.
I don't disagree, but what if Belichick is demonstrative privately? Hey, Mr. Kraft, Robert, we got to move on.
But
we can't win this way anymore.
I get it, but doesn't Bill kind of owe it to Tom?
I don't think Bill thinks that way. He's not into the sentimentality.
He probably is not, but who is Bill going to go replace him with? Unless they have enough assets to move
Teddy Bridgewater.
Way up in the draft. Maybe. But is Teddy Bridgewater that significantly better than letting Tom Brady finish out his career the way that he wants to finish it out in New England?
Probably not.
I would think so as well.
Yeah.
So,
but it's not going to end well there. He's either going to bolt. Again, you and I don't think he will. But he either bolts via free agency and changes, alters forever the landscape in Boston, which would be amazing. Not that they would, they wouldn't resent him for it.
No,
they would understand
not.
For sure.
Yeah.
But, boy, I mean, to leave for a year or two would be crazy. Nobody saw that a couple of years ago if it happens. So he either bolts and there's that emotion, or he stays and the decay becomes more evident, okay? And then it just gets ugly. Because now you have to either pull him from a game or bench him mid-season. I don't mean this year, but maybe this year.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no guarantee that he plays well.
Yeah.
Edelman was pieced together with stitches and glue and spit and duct tape.
Yep.
He was hurt everywhere. The ribs, the shoulder, the knee. Gronk's gone. Nobody's come in.
Yeah, Neil wasn't ready, healthy enough early. So
who's that? Oh, no way. Absolutely not. And by the way, I'm not even sure if they drafted the right guy from Arizona State. I'm not sure if they drafted the right guy. He doesn't run well at all.
No, you're right. You know how they could solve this whole thing? Or this whole thing could be resolved for us?
Cheat again?
No. Hmm. Tom Brady retires.
He's not retiring.
Tom Brady retired.
He's not
retiring. I know, but just because he said it doesn't mean it couldn't happen.
See, but now, and this is going to sound Now, like, deceitful.
Now I'm taking you down another.
This is going to sound dark. Like, I don't want this to happen. But there is a part of me, all right, because we've watched him for 20 years.
You want him to fade out. You want to see the natural fade
out. I do.
Out. Come on.
Because I saw it with every. I saw it with Brett Favre. I saw it with Dan Marino playing after he ruptures Achilles. I want to see Tom Brady be mortal.
Yes.
And I want to see how that plays out. I'm not wishing him to get hurt. I'm not wishing him or wishing upon him this radical downturn in performance. But, I like to see the conversation change a little bit. I really would. And I think most people are with me outside of Pats fans, you know?
Nah, I kind of want to see him go out on top.
Weirdo. You always have the weird takes with Tom Brady because of Tracy, because she likes him.
Well, she does, man. You know, I got to keep a happy home.
It's funny. My wife doesn't think he's good looking. I don't know if she's just saying that to make me feel good or if she really believes that.
It's partly his looks, but it's really, I think, for Tracy, he was so nice to her. Like, unbelievably nice.
Yeah,
I told you about this picture. Like, she cuts me out of this picture half the time. Because it's like her. She's, you know, with heels on, she's 6'1".
Yeah.
And Tom is like 6'3". And they just look like kind of perfect standing next to each other. And here I am. Like, on the outside.
Hey, who let the help in the picture?
Yeah, exactly.
What is this guy doing here?
Just crop this black guy out of here. We don't need him.
Teak. Oh, my God. To be determined.
I'm kind to Tom because of Tracy.
Oh, you've always raved about his character. He's not up for debate at all.
Yep.
This could be up for debate. We'll get to this coming up next here. Inbounds, Out of Bounds. Jay Wright's future at Villanova. Could be coming to an end. We'll get to it after Ack's update, which is right now. Here's Ack. All right, Teak and Tierney back here on CBS Sports Radio. Time to ask the pros here. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Tweet us at CBS Sports Radio, hashtag Ask the Pros. Stick around, listen later on. Tiki and I will answer the best one. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guarantee low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day. You know, I would say Rob Manfred's got some splaining to do, but I don't even know if I'd want to listen at this point.
Yeah.
We're getting into that top of the hour, and it might be time for something radical. So that's coming up. We got a little college hoops next hour as well. John Crispin, ESPN, he's all over Westwood One, Sirius XM, etc. And then the third hour, you know, Giannis starting to at least structure the early stages of a power play.
Ruh-roh.
Getting ready to devise a plan, perhaps to bounce. We'll talk about that as well. But right now, time for a little in and out. Teak, you good to go?
Let's do it.
You good to go?
I am.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
Right, so here we go. 13-year NFL vet tight end Greg Olsen signed a 1-year deal with Seattle. So I guess the broadcast booth's going to have to wait for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He's finished. He's going to Seattle. Interesting signing there. He's missed 18 games over the last 3 years due to numerous foot issues, yet Seattle, they were in need of a tight end help, and this obviously fits the Bills. The bill between five different tight ends, Seattle had just 733 receiving yards at the position. To be fair, they had one pretty big injury. However, Olsen was not the only veteran tight end on the free agent market, as longtime Dallas Cowboy Jason Witten says he wants back in 2020. Might go have Jason Garrett with the Giants, even if it's not with the Cowboys. You know, we've speculated on that. You know,
he seems like he wants to keep playing, Jason Witten.
He wants to keep playing. Question is, can he keep playing?
Yeah.
I mean, can he still play? In or out? Greg Olsen's a better option for Seattle than Jason Witten at this point.
I'm going to say out of bounds of this.
Out
of bounds. Look, I love Greg Olsen from Wayne Hills.
Yeah, Bergen Catholic.
Wayne Hills High School.
I thought it was Bergen Catholic.
No, he went to Wayne Hills. They won a couple championships up there, too.
They played for his pops. That's right.
Dad was the coach, and Max Lebselter was one of his classmates.
Was he the punter? What was Max doing?
No, Max wasn't doing nothing. He was just hanging around. Actually, I think Max was a couple years younger than him.
Yeah.
But regardless, you know, Greg's been a great player, but he's been hurt a lot, BT, the last couple of years. And so I think Jason, who is not as athletic, he's lost clearly a step. But he's consistent. He's there. He'll catch that intermediate route. I'm going to say Jason Witten's the better fit out here because Russell Wilson doesn't need a down-the-field threat for tight end. He needs someone consistent at tight end. And I think Jason Witten does that better than Greg Olsen only because of his injuries over the last couple of years.
Disagree. Not about the injury aspect. That I can't refute. It is what it is. I mean, Witten's a guy who shows up and he's ready to go every Sunday, whereas Greg Olsen certainly in his heart wants to show up and give it a roll, but he's just been banged up. Listen, I think Jason Witten shot. I really do. I really like Jason Witten. How could you not?
He came out of the booth. How much did he train last year? We don't know. Maybe another year in.
Was he that good before he went in the booth that last year?
Probably not. Honestly. That's the reason he went in the booth.
Yeah. You're looking for a security blanket here. You're looking for, an explosive element with Metcalf and some other players they have there in Seattle. This is a very good move to me. I can only answer it, from the seat if I were the GM. Mm-hmm. And I'm evaluating things evenly, and I'm looking around, and I'm saying, okay, so we have this, we need that. Here's what's available. What makes us better? And the answer is Greg Olsen for me. Now, of course, he's got to be able to navigate the injuries, and I'm assuming health, but assuming both players are healthy, there's no comparison at this point. So I'll say Greg Olsen.
Are you in or are you out?
Let's get to college hoops. Jay Wright specifically, 2 national titles at Villanova, but one... Let me see here. But one just, what?
But he won just 26 games last year.
That's a lot.
I know.
That's a lot. 26 is pretty good. And Villanova, not quite what they've been, but they're still obviously very formidable. 19-6 so far this season. Now Wright's name's been linked to a couple of NBA jobs. We saw this a few days ago with the Knicks, and that was refuted pretty quickly. That was shot down. And the Sixers are reportedly hoping to pursue him as well. Now, the New York Post reports that Wright would only consider leaving Nova for Philly. Mm-hmm. Makes sense? We just saw yet another accomplished college coach, John Beilein, crash and burn in his one attempt in the NBA. Didn't go well. Went through a horrendous front. Let's face it. The Cavaliers without LeBron, they're a body bag in the sporting sense. Mm-hmm. They're awful. So I don't know that it's a fair comparison, but it did happen. Beilein bombed. He was 14-40, and he's out after 1 year despite getting a 5-year deal. And the evidence of college coaches failing more than they succeed is obviously there. So let's get to Jay Wright specifically. In or out, Jay should leave Nova and take the Sixers job if the position's available this summer.
I'm going to say...
By the way, which it will be.
It will. I'm going to say out of bounds with this, BT. I like Jay Wright a lot. He is the AP coach of the decade for his 2 championships in that 4-year span. Look, he's buttoned up. He looks the part.
Oh, he's got the best suits in the biz.
Oh, he's unbelievable.
Best suits in the biz.
It's probably...
Kills him with the material.
I'm trying to think. He probably does. Yeah, I think he definitely does. I was going to say potentially some of these other Southern coaches have some better suits. But his are neat. They're clean.
Now, Roy Williams has the nice Blazers.
Blazers, but not
Jay's
the
rocking
suit.
I think the sweet right. Executive suits.
Yeah, Jay looks like he's walking out of a board meeting.
He does.
But he also has this like zen quality about him where he's always focused on being the present. And I think that's what makes his Villanova teams so good, even when they're underachieving, like talent-wise. They don't have the talent some of these other squads. They can still compete because they're selfless. Now, could he bring that to the NBA? Maybe, but it's got to be the right team. And I think that the egos might be too big in Philadelphia. So I'm not saying he's not right for an NBA job. I just don't know if Philly right now is the right spot for him. So I'm going to say out of bounds.
I'm going to say hard inbounds. Take it. Because he wants to coach in the NBA at some point. Mm-hmm. If you believe, what people that know him really well. Like most great competitors, they want to try to compete at the highest level. And listen, you win 2 championships at Villanova. You got nothing left to prove. The statue should be already built and outside of the arena. And, I think that Jay is at a point in his life now where if he doesn't take this, first of all, I do think it's going to open in Philly. The Knicks job makes no sense for Jay Wright. If I'm Jay Wright, I wouldn't take that. He's a Philly kid. We know that. I think he went to Bucknell, but he's a Philly kid. And you have to figure that whomever the Sixers hire next will be a big name. And if it's a big name, if it's not Jay, if it's a big name, that job might not open up again for another 4 or 5 years. So if Jay Wright really wants to coach the Sixers, he better jump in there pretty soon.
Yeah.
Because I'm not saying there'll be no volatility, the roster. I'm not saying it's perfect, but you got 2 stars, all right? Or at least 2 or 1.5 stars. And I think, Jay, a guy from my neighborhood, Jimmy Schaefer, played for him at Hofstra. And I remember the first St. John's game I did against Nova in 2003. Went up to Jay, introduced myself. Great dude. And I brought up my friend's name, Jimmy Schaefer, who played for him at Hofstra. And, he was raving about Jimmy, and Jimmy was raving about him. Here's his best quality. Jay Wright can walk into any room, anywhere, and he can fit in, and it's not fake.
Yeah.
He can walk into the projects, comfortable. Walk into the boardroom, comfortable. And everywhere in between. John Beilein didn't have that.
Yeah.
Let's call for what it didn't have it.
True.
Didn't have that cachet, didn't have that presence. Not talking about coaching chops. Didn't have the other stuff. Jay's got it. I think the time to take the job is now.
Are you in or are you out?
Plus, I wouldn't mind getting the hell out of the conference so St. John's can start winning a few more games. Get out of here, Jay, will you? All right. The Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame announced the 8 finalists for this year's class, including Kobe Bryant, of course, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, the big ticket. One name surprisingly left off the list is former Raptor and Heat star Chris Bosh. Now, the 2-time NBA champ is one of just 13 players in history to average 19.2. Wow, this is very specific. To average 19.2 points per game and 8.5 rebounds. And he also made 11 All-Star teams, as we know. Yesterday, Bosh expressed frustration. And keep in mind, his career was cut short, so there was still some meat on that bone in terms of stats, and he wasn't happy about it.
I'm not going to lie, man. I'm disappointed I didn't even, get considered. I was really, really looking forward to going in with this class. I feel it was going, it still has a chance to be the best class ever assembled and put together. And I have to be honest with you, it's just disappointing. It's really, really disappointing because, I'm a historian of the game, and usually people with certain contributions, certain things happen. And that's not the case.
Okay, there you go. In or out. It is an insult to both Bosh and the Hall of Fame that he wasn't named the finalist for this year's class.
I'm going to say inbounds to this, BT. Not because, he deserves to be in this year, but last year they took 13 finalists. This year there's only 8. Now, 3 of them are females: Tamika Ketchin, Barbara Stevens, who was a coach, Kim Mulkey, who's also a coach, Rudy Tomjanovich, and Eddie Sutton, both also coaches. I think Rudy goes in as a coach, not as a player. And the 3 players who you just mentioned at the top. And Chris Bosh deserves to be in that conversation. Let's not forget, he won the championships in Miami, but also he was like an icon up in Toronto before he bounced. And maybe there's some ill feelings about that up in Toronto. But was a great player and deserves to be in the Basketball Hall of Fame, the Naismith Hall of Fame, for being such a great contributor. So I'm going to say inbounds. He does have a right to feel disappointed, as he said 15 times in a 5-minute video.
Yeah, sure. I'm going to say inbounds to him having the right to feel disappointed. I'm going to say out of bounds in terms of answering the question. Chris Bosh is not as good as those other players, period. He's just not that kind of player. He had a chance to hitch a franchise to his back, and outside of a few pops in Toronto, a couple of high 40 win totals.
He's an all-star.
All-star means nothing. I mean, what is an all-star?
True, but still.
All-star. I don't look at him as a superstar. I never have. Listen, when Chris Bosh in his prime was the best player on the team, you won nothing. And that's not a slight to Chris Bosh. That's a fact. When Chris Bosh was the second best player on the team, that never really happened, so I can't give you much of an answer because he went from the first to the third.
Yeah.
And when he was the third best, they won a championship. He's going to get in. I can't sit here and say that, it's an egregious oversight. It's a blatant disrespect. Chris Bosh was a really good player. And he was a borderline great player. But I delineate between Kobe and Garnett and Duncan. And Chris Bosh has to wait a little bit. And Chris Bosh needs to get over it.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Yeah, the problem, though, BT, is he's going to get in. Yep. So why wait? Is it because this was his first time on the ballot and they didn't see him as a first ballot Hall of Famer?
I would think that's their reasoning. I would agree with that if that's their thinking.
I mean, it must be. I'm trying to think of why else, because he's a Hall of Famer. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
So why hold him out if you had 5 less finalists than you did last year?
But you can ask that same question about everybody that makes the Hall of Fame that doesn't get in on the first ballot.
Not in basketball.
Yeah, you can. A lot of guys don't get in on the first ballot. A lot of guys don't.
True.
You got to wait. I mean,
isn't it about, I don't know, just basketball is weird to me. I don't understand, the process. Again, I don't understand the process for any of them.
I was going to say football is weird. Baseball is weird in a different way. The one thing that I'll say, and I'm a Chris Bosh fan. I need to be fair in answering that question. He's probably more emotional about this because of Kobe's enshrinement. And I don't blame him for that.
Most certainly.
I mean, as a former player, who wouldn't love to be up on that stage the year that Kobe Bryant is honored, even though Kobe's no longer with us? So I certainly get that aspect. Maybe that emotion is fueling, uneasiness with the process.
Yeah, disappointment.
For sure. Disappointment's the word I was looking for. But he wasn't Duncan. And was he ever one of the 3 or 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 best players in the game? The answer, no. He never was. He really wasn't. So, good hour. Oh, just warming up. Rob Manfred.
Still.
I got news for you. If you know Rob Manfred, tell him not to watch this segment. Text him. Tell him not to watch this. This is not going to be pretty for Rob Manfred.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.